The blue lights come on just after 11 p.m. on a Tennessee roadway. The dash camera is already rolling. A car eases to the shoulder. An officer steps out. Another angle wakes up when a body camera activates. Voices are calm at first. Short sentences, commands given once, then again. The driver's door opens. The distance between words and hands collapses fast. Within minutes, the stop turns physical. Orders overlap, hands grab. The cameras do not agree on everything, but they all see the same problem. Control is slipping. A struggle pins itself between the car and the pavement. Breathing turns ragged. Someone says, "Stop resisting." Someone says, "Get back." The words stack up and lose meaning. Then the movement slows. Isaiah Norman stops responding. The cameras keep recording. An officer calls for medical help. Another checks for a pulse. The lights stay flashing, washing the scene in blue and red. What began as a routine stop is now death investigation, captured frame by frame, with no rewind button for the people standing there. Chapter 1. Setup and stakes. The patrol car is already behind him when the lights come on. It is just after 11 p.m. on a Tennessee roadway. The dash camera shows the headlights flare in the mirror. The vehicle signals and pulls to the shoulder. Gravel shifts under the tires. Traffic moves past in the dark. The officer steps out. His radio crackles once, then goes quiet. The body camera wakes up as he reaches the driver's side. Another unit arrives and stops behind him. Two angles now. The cameras are steady. The scene looks controlled. The driver is Isaiah Norman. He is seated behind the wheel. The window is down. The first exchange is short. A greeting, a request. The reason for the stop is stated. The tone is firm but measured. The officer asks for documents. Isaiah speaks back. The audio catches fragments. Wind, passing cars, the words are clear enough to follow. A second officer moves to the passenger side. His body camera catches the side profile. He stands back, watching hands. The first officer repeats a command. The request does not change. The pause stretches longer than expected. The cameras record the delay. It becomes part of the record. Isaiah opens the door. It's not clear from the first angle why. From the second, the movement is sudden. The officer reacts. He tells Isaiah to stay in the car. The command is given once, then again. Isaiah steps out anyway. The space tightens. The shoulder is narrow. The car door is open into traffic. The officers move closer. One reaches for Isaiah's arm. The body camera jerks as contact begins. The audio shifts. Breathing comes through louder now. Instructions overlap. Hands are visible on sleeves and wrists. The dash camera shows the car rocking slightly as weight presses against it. The officers attempt to restrain Isaiah. They tell him to put his hands behind his back. The command repeats. The second officer steps in. His camera shows Isaiah turned sideways, pinned between the open door and the frame of the car. The footage captures the strain in real time. Shoes scrape on pavement. A knee drops. A voice says, "Stop resisting." From the cameras, it is clear the struggle is brief but intense. Second stretch. Movements are sharp and close. The officers are focused on control. Isaiah's voice comes through, then breaks off. It is hard to separate one speaker from another. The audio compresses the moment into noise and command. At one point, Isaiah is forced down. The dash camera angle loses his face as bodies block the view. The body camera on the second officer shows Isaiah on the ground near the driver's side. An officer is over him, using his weight. Another officer holds an arm. The commands continue. "Get on your stomach. Hands behind your back." The video does not show every detail. It does show pressure. It shows repeated attempts to secure Isaiah's arms. The officers do not disengage. Traffic continues to pass. Headlights sweep across the scene. The emergency lights flash in cycles, red then blue, over and over. Within moments, the movement changes. The struggle slows. The commands stop coming as fast. One officer says something about compliance. Another checks Isaiah's position. The cameras capture a shift in urgency. An officer says his name. There is no clear response. The body camera shows an officer rolling Isaiah slightly, trying to adjust his position. A hand reaches toward his neck or shoulder area, checking. The audio picks up a quick exchange between officers. One of them calls for medical assistance. The radio comes alive again. Isaiah is no longer moving. His chest is not clearly visible from any angle. The officers reposition him. One appears to check for breathing. Another looks up toward the roadway, scanning, then back down. The flashing lights continue. The dash camera clock keeps running. The call for emergency medical services is logged. The officers remain on scene. Their posture changes from control to response. One officer steps back, hands on his hips, then kneels again. Another stays close to Isaiah, speaking into the radio. The tone is now clipped and urgent. No weapons are visible in the footage. No objects appear to be exchanged. The focus is entirely on Isaiah's body on the ground. The cameras capture the stillness settling in. The sounds are radio traffic and passing cars. The commands are gone. Minutes pass. The video shows officers waiting. One shines a light briefly. Another looks toward the approaching sirens in the distance. The dash camera records the full span of the roadside scene. The body cameras record close, human angles. All of it is preserved. When medical responders arrive, they take over. The officers step back. The cameras continue to roll. Isaiah is assessed. Efforts are made. The specifics of treatment are partially obscured by bodies and equipment. The outcome is not shown yet. The chapter ends before that point. What is clear from the footage is this. A routine traffic stop escalated quickly. Physical force was used. Multiple cameras captured overlapping views of the same minutes. By the time medical help was requested, Isaiah Norman was unresponsive on the pavement. The question at the center of this chapter is not why the stop happened or what would come later. It is narrower and heavier. What exactly occurred in those few minutes, and what did the cameras prove without interpretation? The answer lies in the frames that follow, frozen in time, waiting to be examined second by second. Chapter 2, Escalation and Reversal. The review begins with clocks. Investigators gather the recordings and line them up. Dash camera, two body cameras, a nearby fixed camera from a business facing the roadway. Each has its own timestamp. None of them agree perfectly. Analysts slow the footage down and rebuild the sequence using audio spikes, radio clicks, and the moment emergency lights first reflect off passing cars. The stop begins at 11:14 p.m., give or take a few seconds depending on the device. The first officer's dash camera shows the pullover. The second officer's body camera activates later, triggered by movement. The gap matters. It becomes the first point of reconstruction. The footage is reviewed frame by frame. Investigators note posture, hand placement, and officer positioning. They identify when commands are given and how often they repeat. The words matter. So does timing. A command given once is different from a command given six times in 20 seconds. The medical examiner's report enters next. Cause of death is listed based on autopsy findings. The report describes physical condition, internal stress markers, and contributing factors. It does not assign intent. It does not name a suspect. It answers only one question: what stopped the body from functioning? The findings are compared to the video. Analysts look for alignment. They note when pressure appears to be applied and for how long. They note Isaiah Norman's body position during restraint, on his side, on his stomach, rolled slightly. Each change is logged. The footage shows Isaiah on the ground near the driver's side door. One officer appears to apply body weight. Another controls an arm. The videos do not show a clear view of Isaiah's face during the critical seconds. That absence becomes part of the analysis. What cannot be seen is documented alongside what can. Audio is scrubbed. Investigators listen for verbal cues. Breathing, distress, statements made by officers. The phrase "stop resisting" is heard. It is repeated. Analysts mark the last audible vocalization from Isaiah. After that point, there is silence from him on the recordings. Officers submit written statements. Each account describes the stop, the escalation, and the perceived resistance. The language is formal. The tone is consistent. Each officer describes a concern for safety. Each describes attempts to gain compliance. The statements are compared against the video. Some details align cleanly. The timing of the stop, the order of officer arrival, the request for medical assistance, other details are less clear. The exact moment control was achieved, the duration of applied force, whether verbal responses were received after Isaiah was taken to the ground. Investigators flag discrepancies without drawing conclusions. One officer reports continued resistance longer than the video clearly shows. Another describes checking for breathing sooner than the footage suggests. These differences are noted as perception gaps, not accusations. Department policy is pulled. Use of force guidelines are highlighted. Specific sections address restraint, positional risks, and monitoring a detained person's condition. Analysts compare policy language to observed actions. They do not decide guilt. They assess compliance. The fixed camera from the nearby business adds context. It shows the stop from a distance. It captures flashing lights and movement, but no close detail. Its value is temporal. It confirms how long the struggle lasted and when the scene shifted from control to response. The medical examiner clarifies findings during follow-up questioning. The death is categorized with contributing factors related to restraint and physiological stress. This does not automatically imply criminal conduct. It establishes a medical outcome. The footage is reviewed again, this time with sound off. Analysts focus on body mechanics, weight distribution, arm placement, duration. They note when an officer adjusts position. They note when another officer steps back. The moment medical aid is requested is time-stamped precisely. Internal Affairs opens a review. The officers involved are placed on administrative status per policy. This is procedural. It is not discipline. It is documented as standard practice following an in-custody death. Investigators prepare a comprehensive timeline. It begins with the traffic violation and ends with transfer of care to medical responders. Every second is accounted for, as best as the evidence allows. Where gaps exist, they are labeled as such. Public release of the footage is prepared. Portions are redacted for privacy. Audio is not altered beyond necessary redactions. The release is accompanied by a statement explaining the review process. Officials emphasize that the investigation is ongoing. As the footage becomes public, it is replayed widely. Viewers draw conclusions. Investigators do not. Their task remains narrow. Do the recordings, reports, and medical findings align in a way that supports or contradicts the officer's accounts? By the end of the evidence review phase, the record is thick. Multiple angles, medical documentation, policy references, statements, no single piece stands alone. Each is weighed against the others. The question driving this chapter sharpens. Did the evidence establish a clear violation of law or policy? Or does it fall into the gray space where tragedy occurs without a criminal threshold being crossed? That determination does not belong to investigators alone. It moves next to the prosecutor. Chapter 3, Resolution and Aftermath. The case moves from review to decision quietly. There is no courtroom scene, no arrest, no dramatic announcement. Instead, a written determination is prepared by the prosecutor's office. It is based on the same material already reviewed by investigators. Video recordings, officer statements, medical findings, department policy. The prosecutor outlines the standard. Criminal charges require proof beyond a reasonable doubt. The question is not whether the death was tragic. It is whether the evidence supports a criminal act under state law. The distinction is spelled out carefully. The footage is addressed first. The prosecutor notes that the traffic stop was lawful. The escalation is described as rapid, but not unusual for roadside encounters that involve non-compliance. The use of force is examined in sequence. The report states that the officers attempted to restrain Isaiah Norman in response to perceived resistance. The medical examiner's conclusions are cited next. The cause of death is listed with contributing factors related to restraint and physiological stress. The manner of death is classified according to medical standards, not legal ones. The prosecutor emphasizes this difference in language. Policy considerations are acknowledged but separated from criminal analysis. A violation of department policy does not automatically equal a crime. The report explains this explicitly. The prosecutor states that while policy adherence is relevant, criminal liability depends on intent, recklessness, or unlawful conduct as defined by statute. After reviewing the evidence, the prosecutor declines to file charges. The decision is presented as based on insufficient evidence to meet the criminal threshold. The report notes that the officer's actions, while resulting in death, do not rise to the level of criminal wrongdoing under the law. The announcement is made through a press release. It is measured in tone. It outlines the process. It references the evidence. It avoids emotional language. It states the conclusion plainly. The police department responds soon after. Leadership releases a statement acknowledging the loss of life. They confirm that internal reviews were conducted. They state that administrative findings will not be fully public due to personnel rules, but that training and procedures will be evaluated. The officers involved remain unnamed in most official communications. their administrative status is addressed only in general terms. The department emphasizes policy compliance and officer safety while expressing condolences to the family. Isaiah Norman's family responds publicly through legal representatives. Their statements challenge the prosecutor's conclusion. They point to the video footage and argue that restraint tactics and response times warrant accountability. They emphasize that the loss occurred during a routine stop. Civil action is filed. The lawsuit alleges wrongful death and violations of civil rights. It names the department and the officers involved. The filing shifts the arena from criminal law to civil court, where the standards are different. The civil case proceeds separately. Motions are filed. Evidence is exchanged. Depositions are scheduled. The outcome is not immediate. The legal process stretches forward, slower and less visible than the criminal review. Public reaction unfolds in waves. Community members gather. Statements are made at council meetings. Advocacy groups reference the case in broader discussions about policing and use of force. The department increases patrol presence in some areas. Officials call for calm. The footage continues to circulate. Each replay reinforces different interpretations. Some viewers see justified force, others see excessive restraint. The same frames support conflicting conclusions. The cameras did not resolve the question, they preserved it. Time passes, media attention fades. The case remains active in civil court, but no longer leads the news cycle. For the family, there is no resolution that feels complete. For the officers, the incident becomes part of their professional record. For the department, it becomes a reference point in training and policy review. As of the final reporting date, no criminal charges have been filed in connection with Isaiah Norman's death. The official record stands as written: a lawful stop, an escalation, a death captured on camera, a prosecutorial decision not to pursue criminal accountability. The final weight of the case rests not in a verdict, but in the unanswered space between what the law requires and what the cameras show. The footage does not change, the interpretations do. The cost remains fixed.